Welcome to the debate. Imagine surviving the deadliest naval battles of the 20th century. You come home, you build a life, and then, well, 50 years later, you're killed by the insulation that was in your own bunk.
It's horrific.
It is. That is the grim reality for roughly 900 military veterans every single year in the United States.
Yeah, it's a staggering legacy. I mean, we're talking about veterans representing approximately 30% of all mesothelioma diagnoses in the country today. And that's despite them making up just a tiny fraction of the overall population.
Right. And the root of this is the military's really heavy reliance on asbestos from the 1930s through the 1970s. I mean, we typically think of armor and steel as what protects our troops, but the military used asbestos to fireproof nearly everything.
Oh, absolutely. Everything!
They wrapped boiler room pipes in it. They packed engine room gaskets with it, lined the walls of sleeping quarters. So the very material deployed to protect these service members from fire and heat was actually a silent, invisible threat.
And the tragedy is, these men who served as young recruits in their late teens or early 20s, they were completely unaware of the risk. And now they're in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, facing this brutal terminal cancer diagnosis.
Which brings us to the core issue we are unpacking today. When we look at the landscape of restitution for these veterans, what system actually provides the most essential framework for justice?
Right.
Is it the guaranteed comprehensive administrative care of the VA benefit system? Or, you know, is it the targeted accountability and additive compensation of the private legal system and corporate trust funds?
It's a heavy question.
It is. And I'm arguing that the VA system is the paramount and most crucial framework here. Because mesothelioma is terminal and it moves incredibly fast, veterans just don't have the luxury of time. So the VA system provides immediate, holistic medical and financial certainty without dragging a dying person through an adversarial process. I mean, it is the ultimate safety net.
I hear that, but I come at it from a different way. While VA care is obviously a necessary baseline, relying on it alone represents an incomplete form of justice.
How so?
Because the U.S. government didn't manufacture these asbestos products. Private corporations did. So I'll be arguing that the private legal system and asbestos trust funds are the necessary engines of true justice, because they uniquely hold those negligent manufacturers accountable. And crucially, they do so without reducing a single cent of a veteran's VA benefits.
Okay, let's start with the reality of the diagnosis itself. Mesothelioma is not a condition you just manage for decades. It is a rapid, devastating illness.
It really is.
And because it has such a bleak prognosis and is directly linked to service, the VA typically grants an immediate 100% disability rating. For a veteran with a spouse, as of 2026, that translates to approximately $3,900 or more in monthly tax-free compensation. But you know, it is not just about a check.
Right, because the medical intervention is the primary concern when someone actually gets that pathology report.
Exactly. The VA system is uniquely structured to act as a medical and financial emergency room. It unlocks free, comprehensive health care. We are talking about access to specialized oncologists, complex thoracic surgeries.
Chemotherapy, too.
Yeah. Chemotherapy, radiation, and palliative care, all at no expense. When a patient arrives in critical condition, the primary form of justice is immediate stabilization. You stop the bleeding, you secure the airway, you provide the monthly lifeline, and the oncology care.
Sure.
You don't ask the patient to sit in the waiting room while you launch a protracted legal investigation into, you know, who manufactured the brake pads on the Jeep they drove in 1968.
Okay, I'm stuck on this emergency room analogy. Yes, stabilizing the patient is step one. But the emergency room stabilizes you. It doesn't pay for the underlying damage.
What do you mean?
Well, if a drunk driver hits you, the ER doctors save your life, right? But the legal system ensures the drunk driver pays for the hospital bill and the destruction of your property. If we rely solely on the VA, we are essentially socializing the cost of corporate negligence.
Socializing the cost? I mean, the American taxpayer funds the VA because it's a debt of honor to the veteran.
But the taxpayer is footing the bill for a private corporation's deception. Who funds that $3,900 monthly payout?
The taxpayer.
The taxpayer? Who funds the million-dollar thoracic surgeries?
The taxpayer.
Meanwhile, the private manufacturers who actually supplied the dangerous boiler room insulation, the ones who profited from selling those engine room gaskets, they effectively evade consequence.
I see your point.
Without the private legal framework, companies like Johns Manville and Owens Corning successfully offload their liability completely onto the state.
I hear that, but let's look at what holding them accountable actually entails for, say, an 80-year-old veteran. The VA requires a streamlined set of evidence. You need your DD-214, which is basically your official military discharge papers, to prove you served.
Right.
You need a pathology report, and you need a physician's nexus letter, which is just a doctor scientifically bridging that 50-year gap to connect your current cancer to your in-service exposure. You submit VA Form 21-526 easy, and you're done. Plus, you can use veteran service organizations like the DAV or the VFW to navigate this entire process entirely for free. Lawsuits, on the other hand, take years.
Wait, that is a fundamental misunderstanding of how the private asbestos legal system actually works today. We aren't always talking about a single plaintiff sitting in a courtroom for 3 years fighting a team of corporate lawyers. We need to talk about the reservoir of money these companies were forced to create.
You mean the bankruptcy trusts?
Yes, exactly. Back in the 80s and 90s, these asbestos manufacturers realized they were going to get sued into oblivion because the paper trail proved they knew the dust was carcinogenic.
Oh, yeah, the internal memos were damning.
Right. So to survive, they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy under a very specific provision, Section 524G. It allowed them to reorganize, but only if they poured billions of dollars into permanent, independent trust funds specifically set aside to pay future victims.
Okay.
So filing a claim against one of these trusts is not a lawsuit. It is an administrative process, much like the VA. You submit your work history, your medical records, and if you meet the criteria, you receive compensation from that reservoir. It doesn't take years.
But you still need a private attorney to access those trusts. And those attorneys take a contingency fee, usually around a third of the compensation.
True, but...
But the VA system and the VSOs do not take a cut of the veteran's money. It is an entirely non-adversarial system designed to protect the veteran, not enrich a law firm.
Well, the attorney takes a cut of money the veteran would otherwise never see. And let's address why going after these companies is the only avenue for accountability. I know a lot of people listening might think, well, if the military bought the asbestos and ordered the ships built with it, why don't the veterans just sue the U.S. military directly?
Ah, the Ferris Doctrine.
Precisely, the Ferris Doctrine. It's a Supreme Court ruling from 1950 that strictly prevents service members from suing the federal government for injuries sustained while on active duty.
Right, so the military is legally immune.
Exactly. A civilian shipyard worker could sue the Navy, but a Navy machinist mate standing 2 feet away doing the exact same job cannot. So that means the private tort system, holding the manufacturers accountable, became the absolutely only legal avenue for a veteran to get true civil justice. If you don't use the trust funds or the legal system, the architects of the harm get away with it completely.
I understand the Ferris Doctrine creates a legal barrier against the government. But I think you're viewing the VA as merely a passive payer of bills, rather than the institution actively rectifying the environment of exposure. I mean, the VA system is deeply egalitarian.
Egalitarian?
Yeah. It acknowledges that military asbestos exposure wasn't just a singular corporate product failure. You can trace back to one specific logo. It was an environment-wide reality.
Well, it was certainly pervasive, but the severity varied wildly.
But it covers the vast, complex scope of exposure across all branches. We often associate this entirely with Navy veterans and shipyards, but the VA blanket protects everyone equally.
That's fair.
It covers the Army veterans who lived in barracks built with asbestos joint compound. It covers Air Force personnel who were blowing out asbestos-insulated aircraft brake assemblies. It covers Marine Corps base personnel and those who served on Coast Guard cutters. The VA system does not force an ailing veteran to precisely trace a microscopic fiber they inhaled in 1968 back to one specific brand of pipe covering. The sacrifice is the same, the disease is the same, so the restitution is the same.
So you call the VA system egalitarian? I look at it and see a blunt instrument.
A blunt instrument?
Yeah, a flat administrative rating cannot possibly account for the drastically different realities of occupational exposure. Let's ground this in the physical reality of what these guys actually went through.
They were all exposed to a deadly carcinogen.
Yes, but the concentrations matter legally and medically. You had Navy boiler technicians, damage controlmen, and pipe fitters working in unventilated compartments deep inside the hulls of ships.
Right.
They were literally scraping old, baked-on gaskets off valves, breathing in asbestos dust that looked like snow falling inside the engine room. They were subjected to massive, daily, heavily concentrated doses of Johns Manville or Owens Corning insulation. An Air Force mechanic might have had passing exposure, which is terrible, but a Navy pipe fitter lived inside a toxic cloud for 4 years.
And both of them tragically gets mesothelioma.
True, but the legal system allows for targeted restitution that matches the precise origin of that exposure. Through multi-trust fund claims, a veteran can pull compensation from 5, 10, sometimes 15 different corporate trusts, depending on how many different toxic products they were forced to handle. The tort system achieves a precision in matching the financial penalty to the actual wrongdoing that a flat VA administrative rating simply cannot accomplish.
I'm just not convinced by that line of reasoning, because it elevates financial extraction over what I believe is the true definition of a comprehensive resolution.
Okay, what's your definition?
When we talk about a mesothelioma diagnosis, we are not just talking about the veteran's body. We are talking about the psychological and physical toll on their family. The VA conceptually views this harm as a family-wide tragedy that requires perpetual state support.
How does it do that beyond the individual's medical care?
Through the architecture of its multi-generational safety net. Let's talk about what happens at home. When a veteran is dying of mesothelioma, the spouse often becomes the full-time caregiver. They're the ones washing the clothes, managing the oxygen, driving to the oncology appointments.
That's a huge burden.
It is. And the VA recognizes that labor through aid and attendance stipends, which is extra monthly compensation paid while the veteran is alive to help cover the costs of that caregiving.
Which is a vital program, I absolutely agree.
But it goes further. When the veteran sadly passes away from this service-connected disease, the compensation doesn't just stop. The VA provides dependency and indemnity compensation, known as DIC, to the surviving spouse and dependent children.
Right, the widow's benefit.
Yes, it provides a monthly tax-free payment to the widow for the rest of her life. It treats the veteran's sacrifice as a debt owed by the nation to the entire family unit. The legal system, with its trusts and settlements, provides a lump sum. The VA provides an enduring, holistic commitment to the family's survival. That, to me, is what comprehensive resolution really looks like.
It is a profound commitment, and the DIC and aid in attendance programs are absolute lifelines. But I have to question whether any resolution can truly be defined as comprehensive if the actual wrongdoer is completely absent from the process.
Well,
and we keep talking about these systems as if the veteran has to pick a lane. Let's break the fourth wall here for a second, because I know a lot of people listening might think, wait, if I take a legal settlement from an asbestos trust, doesn't the VA cut my benefits?
No, they do not. They are entirely separate systems.
That is a huge misconception we really have to clear up. They are completely, totally separate. Receiving a $50,000 or $100,000 settlement from an asbestos trust fund does not reduce your $3,900 monthly VA disability check by a single penny.
That's an important point.
It doesn't cancel your free VA healthcare. It doesn't jeopardize your spouse's future DIC eligibility. You can, and frankly should, get both.
But navigating both simultaneously while fighting cancer is an immense burden.
It is a burden, which is why specialized attorneys handle the trust side while the VSOs handle the VA side. Because these systems are additive, true comprehensive resolution is practically impossible without utilizing the private tort system. Why would a family settle for only the state's support when they have every legal right to extract the maximum financial penalty from the solvent corporate entities who actually manufacture the poison?
I see.
To ignore the legal system is to leave a massive piece of justice on the table and to let the companies who covered up the science in the 1940s and 50s off the hook.
Historical wound.
Exactly. The state's ongoing obligation versus the private sector's liability.
Right. And I stand by my assessment that the VA system's non-adversarial, medical, and financial blanket remains the single most vital lifeline when a veteran is handed a terminal diagnosis linked to their time in service the immediate guarantee of top-tier medical care, the monthly financial baseline, and the long-term protection of their spouse through DIC offers a profound, reliable peace of mind.
I don't disagree that the peace of mind is crucial.
It allows the veteran to focus their limited time and energy on their health and their family, rather than looking backward to fight a corporate battle.
And I maintain that while that peace of mind is the necessary first step, justice remains structurally incomplete without the private legal system. The fact that these manufacturers knowingly supplied lethal materials to the military demands accountability.
Yes, the accountability piece is stark.
The Ferris Doctrine blocks veterans from suing the government, making the private legal system their only true avenue for civil justice, forcing those negligent corporations to pay out of their bankruptcy trusts, ensures the burden of their profit-driven decisions falls on their ballot sheets, rather than quietly socializing the cost onto the American taxpayer, or leaving the suffering veteran with less than they deserve.
Well, we certainly have different perspectives on the mechanics of how to achieve that justice, but I think we arrive at a very clear point of shared convergence. We both recognize the profound tragedy at the center of this.
Oh, there is no debating the tragedy. We are looking at a generation of young people who stepped up to serve from the Great Depression through the Cold War. They went into those engine rooms, they slept under those wrapped pipes, they did exactly what their country asked them to do, completely unaware of the lethal dust they were inhaling.
And now they pay the price.
Exactly. Now, decades after they took off the uniform, they are facing a horrific illness. They require the most robust, aggressive systems we can offer to address their suffering.
It is a sobering reality, and understanding the distinction between state-provided care and corporate accountability really illuminates the complex mechanics of occupational diseases. I mean, it is not just a medical issue. It is an intersection of military history, bankruptcy law, and social safety nets.
It really forces us to look beyond the pathology report itself and examine the intricate web of responsibility. From the factory floor where the asbestos was molded, to the military procurement offices that bought it, to the veteran who ultimately paid the price.
Absolutely. And there is so much more for anyone listening to explore in the historical material regarding this topic. The detailed evolution of those 524G asbestos bankruptcy trusts is a fascinating study in mass tort law.
It really is.
And the history of Ferris Doctrine explains so much about military civil rights. Plus, the paper trail of what these companies knew and when they knew it is just a deep, dark dive into corporate history.
It's unbelievable. The internal memos from the 1930s alone, where executives discussed the dangers but decided to prioritize profits, are absolutely chilling.
So we return to the thought we began with. We arm our troops, we build steel hulls to protect them from external enemies, but when the very materials embedded in the ship's walls act as a silent, delayed threat, how do we balance the scales 50 years later?
It's the ultimate question.
Do we prioritize the immediate sheltering care of the nation they served? Or do we demand a targeted reckoning from the architects of the harm? We leave it to you to consider which system represents the truest form of restitution for our veterans.